Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about safe travel, or happy trails to you. Oh no, I hear them shutting off the radio in droves right now.
Well, because of your singing, but I love that song.
Do
because
you really?
I remember as a little girl, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans singing that song at the end of their show. And if I hear that song at the right time, I see my grandparents, whom I miss very much, and I will start crying.
Safe travel. I think I read somewhere Dale Evans actually wrote that song.
Did she?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. So speaking of safe travel, all right, we're going to talk a little bit about safe travel and travel being a sustainable issue as far as we're concerned. Because
well, it's definitely a sustainable issue because more and more people are traveling. And so some of what we'll talk about today is foreign travel. But in this country, in the United States, and certainly in Canada, all of these things that we're going to talk about are also issues. So being safe, and not just in being safe in terms of not getting robbed or having a bad accident or something, but it's also about health and really having an enjoyable trip. And a lot of us are really naive. Lots of Americans don't travel very much. Where I live, lots of people have never even been to Columbus because they're afraid to drive on the highway. So if we're going to go somewhere, we should have some knowledge and some really basic kinds of things. And then also travel puts a big burden on the carbon that's expended, especially if you're flying on a plane or eating lots of meat. And it's just really important to have a lot of simple knowledge. Just like when you go to the grocery store, you should have a little bit of a plan and know what you're going to buy and how it's all going to work.
Well, it strikes me when we talk about safe travel, people, I think, will have the wrong idea. They think, oh, I can't travel. There's this threat of terrorism, or I can't travel because the airplane's going to crash. And that's kind of the thing of I'm afraid of swimming in the ocean because I'm going to get eaten by a shark, when you should be afraid of the mosquito or the bee.
Or the plastic that's in the ocean.
Or eating at McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what's really going to kill you, or not looking both ways when you cross the street. So with travel, it's typically that a person is outside of their norm, their comfort level.
It's a new normal.
And they tend to maybe do something stupid.
Well, maybe not stupid, but we can be naive because we don't know any better. We haven't made a plan. We haven't thought it through. We haven't talked to the right people. Whether we're going to the Grand Canyon or the museum in Columbus, Ohio, for textiles, or we're going to Paris. And so I want to talk just a little bit about that, some things that you can do that will really help to make the trip. If there is an emergency, it's going to make things go a lot more smoothly for you and make you feel better. The first thing is that if you're getting ready to travel, you should make sure that you've told people that are important in your life, if you're traveling within the U.S., where you're going to be. Because if something goes wrong, they may need to call you and let you know, or you may need to contact them for some reason. Maybe your purse gets stolen or you get injured in some way and you need help. If you're traveling abroad with a passport, then you want to register with the U.S. Embassy, and that's really easy to do. You can go online to the United States Embassy and you can register your trip. And that way, if something does go wrong, let's say, well, one time I was going from Moscow to Berlin, and I hadn't contacted you, and I was on a train, and I was told I was going to be, you know, in trouble because the mafia took people off the train, which in fact they did, but they didn't take me. I guess I was too short or too feisty or something.
Or too broke, you know.
No, I wasn't broke, but I may not have looked the part. But anyway, so when I got to Berlin, the people who were supposed to meet me did not show up. So that's the other thing, is have a plan. If somebody's meeting you or you are going to a place you haven't been before, you should have a plan to know where you're going and how you're going to get there. And if the person doesn't show up, you should have a backup plan. So I just decided, all right, my train pass was only good if I kept going west. If I started going back east, I could get fined or thrown off the train. So I decided to go all the way into Berlin, and I went to the travel information center, and I booked a little room, and it was really nice. And then when I got to the room, the phone rang, and it was my airline, saying your husband is trying to track you down, and the embassy contacted us and we know where you are. It's like, whoa, okay. But that was good because you were really concerned. And of course, I was on my adventure and I was thinking, well, if I don't contact you, you'll think everything's fine. When you're getting ready to go, you also should make a photocopy of the front and back of each of the important things you're taking. For example, your credit cards, your driver's license, if you have a passport. Some people travel with the passport even though they're not in a foreign country. Anything, and only travel with what you need. Don't take other stuff with you. And this is true whether it's international or just traveling to stay overnight somewhere. And then what you'll do is have all those pictures on the same page, and you'll make two copies, one that you'll carry with you in some place that's safe. If you're traveling with a passport, you probably should have a little fanny pack that's under your clothes in some way. Or if you're traveling in general, just maybe in your purse. And then you should also have a copy in your suitcase somewhere so that you have a backup system.
Well, now, when we lived in France, whenever I left the house, I always carried my passport with me. Was I just being paranoid?
No, that's the law. And if you got stopped,
really? Well,
yeah,
good for me then.
That's right. You about the only time you were legal in France, I think.
Je suis American.
Yeah,
ooh, look
yeah.
at my passport.
So, but in most countries, you need to have your passport with you at all times because you can be stopped, and you have to be able to prove that who you are, and that you have the right to be there. So you might in France, you don't need a visa, but maybe if you were in Brazil or South Africa, you have to have a visa to prove that you have the right to be there. Another reason is you don't want somebody to steal it, and they are really high priced on the black market. So you want to have it in your possession, but not where somebody can easily take it from you. And it says right on the front of the passport that I am an American citizen, and you do not have the right to take my passport and keep it. Well, that doesn't stop them, but you at least know that you have the right to try to fight to get it back. So the other thing is that you should try to figure out how to best mark your luggage so the tag doesn't come off, because luggage gets lost, tags get lost. Luggage looks exactly like the other luggage. Everybody's got a black bag, whatever that is. And then also information of how to contact the people that if you are going on a trip and you are going to meet somebody, whether you're driving your own car or you are traveling on a plane or a bus, whatever, you should have the contact details of the people that you're going to connect with, because anything can go sour, or you change your mind, or you get sick, or whatever. And so you want to make sure that people know where you are and how they can get a hold of you.
Well, how would you? I just remember, again, when we did international travel, even something as simple as making a phone call can be confusing. I mean, the mobile phones that we had didn't work in certain countries. You could buy calling cards or
well, it's
whatever.
A little bit better now, but not greatly better. You can replace the SIM card in your phone sometimes. You can buy SIM card as soon as you go out of the country into another country. But the problem that we have in this country is that most of our phones don't work in other regions, so they don't even work if I come between here and where I live, from Athens to Philo. A lot of that area, my phone doesn't even work, even though I have a Verizon as my provider. So lots and lots of people.
I think you just mentioned the reason.
I know
why
the
your
reason
phone
why it
doesn't
work.
But.
But lots of people that visit us have no phone service anywhere in our area because they don't have a phone provider that's providing service. But the other thing is, the phone provider will tell you that it works because they want you to believe that. But it doesn't. And so even now, if you go to Europe, when I was in France the last time, it wasn't a matter of getting a phone card. There were not pay phones. That's the same way as it is here now. Mm-hmm. We just had to bum, you know, people to call on their mobile phone for us because our phones didn't work. And that's the other thing, is that you want to be mindful of what kind of electricity is available. Because so let's say I take my phone because I'm going to need it when I come back to be able to contact the person that's picking me up, or that I just need everybody to know I'm okay when I get back into the States or back into an area where I have phone service. And I have to be able to charge my phone. or I have to be able to turn it off and make sure I'm still going to have enough battery to make those phone calls if I depend on somebody picking me up. So these are all little things, but they're really important in terms of making the trip a lot less stressful and also more fun.
And it's probably a good idea to sort all that before you head out.
Well,
and
I think I've said that a few times.
Instead of you land, you have jet lag, and then you're like, oh, now how do I get in touch with someone?
Well, it's also even if you're just traveling a few hours, because you can get jet lag with time change, but also you may be eating strange food. And that's one thing that I do recommend is that you should try not to eat foods that you're not used to at the beginning, to just gradually do that, because it can make you feel pretty bad. If you're leaving the country, at every airport and even bus stations, there are money exchange sites. And I recommend that you exchange a little bit of money for the country that you're going to, so that once you're there, if you do end up being stranded, you need to take a taxi or a bus, or there's a problem. Like when I went to Russia, we didn't have any way to exchange money, and we had to pool our money and find someone who could work with our interpreter. And for a brief period of time, we were millionaires when we did the exchange. But this has happened in many places. One time you and I were in Spain, and the ATM nor the credit card would work. And so we had to figure out what in the heck we're going to do, because we had no cash for like 5 days in Toledo. And that was really, we had a great time and we had to make do. And I had a huge jar of peanut butter. And
yes, I was going to say we ate lots of peanut butter. But if you are going to exchange money also, bear in mind you may not be able to exchange it back.
No, so. or you may not be able to leave with the money when you leave the country. Or even more important, what you want to research is, if you're going to even Canada, do you have to pay a fee to leave the country?
Canada is a foreign country. Now, this is
yes,
new
it
to
is
me.
A foreign country.
Uh-huh.
And
really?
The people that live there are not U.S. citizens. They are Americans, but they are not U.S. citizens.
They're nicer than U.S. citizens.
Well, that may be. But what I was getting at is, if you're trying to leave the country, you are going to need to pay a fee. It's usually just a couple of dollars, or $5 or $6 U.S., but they don't accept U.S. currency for that. You have to have had their currency to pay. So when I was leaving China once, I'm like, oh my God. Fortunately, there was someone else with me who had forgotten she had not exchanged all of her money, because we had just thrown everything into this big pot for the needy children at the immigration, and we were going to miss our plane, but we had the money to pay the extortion fee to leave, and that's all fine and good. But sometimes they don't want you. Like in Tunisia, when we were leaving, they stopped me and said, threatened to search me, because they were afraid that I had money. I was leaving the country with some of their money, and I was. So, but they didn't search me. I was good at talking myself out of it. So let's talk a little bit about, so there are all these things that we really need to do and think about, like if our luggage is damaged, you know, do I have the address where I'm going so they can bring it to me?
Or it doesn't show up.
No, that's the case a lot. But also, am I going to file a claim? If I'm not, then just be on my way. But if I am, what am I going to do? And I need to do that immediately.
And even if you do file a claim, bear in mind, you probably will not get compensated.
No, that's true. Although it used to be better, but I think it's bad now. And then also, if you do need transportation when you arrive where you're going, negotiate that price ahead of time. Don't get in the vehicle or the bus or whatever, and then realize that you don't have what you need when you get to your destination. So let's talk a little bit about some more sustainable opportunities. I'll just mention a couple of things. One is WOOF, W-W-O-O-F, and that stands for Worldwide Organic Opportunities on Farms. And that's a really great sustainable way to travel, because you can do a work exchange on farms all over the world. You pay a small fee to join, and we are a WOOF farm, so occasionally we have what they call WOOFers who come, and they want to learn, and we teach them what we know, and they work with us. And I'll mention a couple more in a minute.
Okay, but the WOOF is actually an exchange of essentially food and lodging for labor.
Right. It's a learning. Traveling. It's a learning opportunity for everybody, really.
All right. And let me interrupt you right there to remind everybody that you're listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. And I do want to mention once again that it is the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. And yeah. It's the end of the trails, right? It's the end of
no, it's not end the of end
travel,
of travel.
The beginning of travel.
That's so right.
The end of the world and the beginning of travel.
Well, I would say the beginning of an adventure. Mm-hmm. Lots of opportunity and all the changes that are coming. Anyway, so.
Well, and that is one of the reasons why you travel, right? To experience new things, to absorb this new culture, to be outside of your comfort level. Yet most of us then find that we're annoyed by the fact that we're in a new place with outside our comfort level.
Well, that might be, but I don't really want to talk about that. I want to talk about how fun it is.
Never mind.
Well, I know, and sometimes you could be really miserable. When I wanted to take the bus in Costa Rica from the airport, and you took one look at the bus and you said, no, we're going in a taxi. Mm-hmm. So I know that people feel out of control. I'm a person who really loves the whole idea that I'm going to make a friend. So I put myself in sometimes really awkward position, and it doesn't last very long. But for example, I, as an old woman, have been a couch surfer, and couch surfing, .com or .org, I forget which it is, but couch surfing, all one word. It's a great organization, and you can couch surf all over the world. And you can also go online after you've registered and look up meetup groups. So let's say I want to go to Paris and I need a room. So I'm going to go and look at who has rooms and who has couches. It'll show you whether it's just a couch or a room or even maybe a suite with a bathroom. And what's expected is that you're going to give me a place to stay, and I am going to come and teach you. I'm going to share things with you. So when I couch surfed, I cooked. I prepared meals.
Is there a cost for this
There's
room?
No cost. It's an exchange. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, then they have these meetup groups that you can sign up for ahead of time. So when I was going to go to Paris the last time and I was couch surfing, I looked up all these different meetup groups, and I saw there were certain coffee houses that were really good, or maybe a coffee house I shouldn't go to because it was in a tough neighborhood. Lots of people who are visiting, wanting to get together and talk about a new exhibit. I found an exhibit, a Jackie Kennedy clothing exhibit, things like that. So it was really cool.
Well, I would imagine that with couch surfing, especially for women, you'd be a little reluctant to just head off and stay at somebody's house. There is some sort of assurance there of safety, right?
I think on the contrary, lots of women get attacked and hurt in perfectly legitimate hotels and motels and things. I think couch surfing and woofing also, they have a very strict code about how things work. And if something were to go wrong or something was inappropriate, it would get reported. Those of us who have used these programs are not faint of heart. And so we would stand up for ourselves, and these people would automatically be extricated from the process and never allowed to participate in again. So,
right. This is another case of misplaced anxiety where
you're
afraid of couch surfing, but you're perfectly fine with the Marriott, yet you stand a lot bigger risk going to the Marriott.
Right, especially in the parking lots if you look at the statistic. Mm-hmm. So I
usually don't sleep in the parking lots.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I like couch surfing and woofing, and I also like the idea that I could stay with a woman if I wanted to, and I know how old she is. There's a picture of her, and there's a picture of her space and everything. So I highly recommend that. It's a very sustainable way to travel, and it's a great way to make friends and not just be someplace kind of hovering. The other thing is a work exchange. There are many kinds of work exchange programs where someone from anywhere in the world really could say they're going to come and they'll do certain work for so many hours, and in exchange for that, you give them room and board, and then they go off and do visiting and sightseeing or whatever that they want to do. I really love all that, and think it's just a really sustainable way to have fun.
Well, it strikes me this is kind of what we've talked about before, where you're in a country in those situations and not just on the country. I mean, when I used to do a lot of business travel, it almost didn't matter what country you were in. The experience was very much the same. You go to a typical
Marriott.
Hotel, yeah,
Marriott
go to
looks
a Marriott
the same everywhere.
And you're there and you go to a meeting and then you got on an airplane and you go somewhere else. So this is talking about let's immerse ourselves into that nation and actually be there, be present.
And that is really a great way to live life, I think. And we enjoy this very much because we have many interns and visitors that come from many different places. And And so we share accommodations and they teach us things. And I just love all that. And I would say that a lot of the things that have really enriched my life since I've lived at Blue Rock Station now for 14 years have come from travels, not just in this country, but mostly abroad in places like Tunisia and France and Germany and England and such. And those things have taught me about beauty and herbs and all kinds of really fascinating things. And so I encourage people to just get out of the I'm going to stay in the hotel and think about how they could really experience real travel. And there's other things that you have to do because it's not about the travel agent. Do they even have travel agents anymore? But somebody planning things for you.
Well, yeah, Thomas we call it Cook. Kayak.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or no, well, Thomas Cook. We used Thomas Cook when we lived in England, and they planned all kinds of things, and they still do that. So so it isn't about that. It's about saying, look, I want to make connections.
All right. So let's say you're making your connection. You're going to couch surf or do some sort of immersion program with a host family of some sort. What would you do when you arrive? Because cultures are different. How would you deal with this host family? What would be some of your suggestions there?
Well, I would back up and say, what would you do when you go to visit any family? So whether I was in the U.S. or I...
Stay in the car and tell you I'll be waiting there.
Yes, that would be you. Mm-hmm. When you get it worked out, I'll come in.
That's right.
And you want to know, is there a bathroom just for our bedroom? Yeah, I got that. But so I think this is the case across the board, whether I'm going to China or Russia or any of the other exotic places I've been in this world, or I'm going to go see my best friend in Iowa. I feel like what we need to do is to have a little bit of the respect that my grandmother always taught us, and that was if you're showing up, bring a gift. And that's the first thing. So one of the things that I've done when I was going to visit a lot of different places, is to recognize that women do most of the domestic work. And if I'm going there and I'm going to stay or eat, they're almost always going to be the ones that have done the work. So I'm going to take them a gift, and I want to take something that has meaning. So I would go to the Goodwill store and get lots of pretty scarves that would be really inexpensive, and I would launder them and iron them, or maybe even if they were cotton, I might starch them and iron them. And then I wrap them in a little bit of tissue paper and tie them up with a ribbon and write thank you with my name on it or put my card on it. And if I'm going to a country that doesn't speak English as their first language, I will write a little message in that language. And this has gotten me a long way in this life. It's gotten me better food. It's gotten me knowledge of where the toilets are when nobody else knew.
Well, it even got you safely off a train in Russia.
It did get me off a train in Russia because I wasn't saying, I am an American and I have this money or I have whatever. I was saying, you are a woman. I'm a woman. I always travel with photos of my family and my pets. And that has served me well also. I always travel in a very humble way. I don't wear my very best clothes. I don't wear jewelry. Sometimes I don't even wear my wedding ring. Because I don't want to set myself up to be the foreigner who looks like they're trying to show off or that I'm somehow better than you. So I love to show pictures that erases the need to speak English or speak socioeconomic level. So if you are a different socioeconomic level than me, we all have loved our children. We all have cared about things in this world. And that's what we do when we first start out is let's erase as many of the barriers as we can. So when I show up, I have a little gift. I often come with some food. I will have stopped at a market somewhere and bought some local foods. And suddenly I'm practically a native, even though I know I will never be a native Iowan. I couldn't live there if I tried. But this just is
just bring them a stock of corn. And,
oh, yeah. We had an intern once.
A couple pounds of bacon.
We had an intern from Iowa once, and every meal when we're planning the menu, she wanted, let's have cream corn, she would say. We're look up and go, no, we're not having cream corn. Yeah.
So. Well, I just remember speaking of food like that when we were in Costa Rica, and the joke there was on Monday and Wednesday you had beans and rice, and on Tuesday and Thursday you had rice and beans, and on Friday you had gallo pinto, which was beans and rice.
So, all good. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. I miss those days.
So let's talk a little bit about health and what happens.
Yeah, after you've eaten all those beans and you're feeling a little bit under the weather, of course.
Well, I was going to say one thing to think about, too, is that you want to erase barriers. So one of the things we do when I teach the class on how to have safe travel is everybody gets – well, they work in groups and they have a paper – piece of paper and some little stones, and they have to make a game. And games can erase barriers. So we learn to do something with that, just our creativity. But anyway, in terms of being sick, so some things that are always going to happen are jet lag. If you're changing time zones, which is easy to do, we're in Ohio. If we go west, almost immediately, we're in at least 1 hour time zone difference. So what do we do? Well, there's some different things. There's a homeopathic remedy called NOLAG, and pilots use this, and you would start taking that. It's a remedy, they call it, about 4 or 5 days before you're going to leave, and that can help you. You also take vitamin C, and then set your watch at the time it's going to be where you're going to arrive as soon as you get on the transportation of where you're going to go. Stomach problems, probiotics, drinking a lot of water, but the right kind of water. So if you drink strange water, you may get really sick. Eating strange food can make you really sick, too. And then bug bites.
Well, when you say probiotics, what do you mean?
Like acidophilus or bifidophilus. Even fermented foods might help you a little bit if you aren't too sick
in
your stomach.
And these are readily available in a lot of countries.
They might be. They might be. Yogurt is always available, real yogurt. And then just to say that if you do have bug bites, you want to have some little kit that you take with you that has some plantain salve. And also maybe some diatomaceous earth if you're in a place where there are bed bugs or fleas or whatever. This will help you a lot.
I know when we were in Costa Rica, I wish we had traveled with our own mosquito net because
I know.
We asked people. I said, there are no screens on the windows. Do you not have mosquitoes? Oh, no, mosquitoes
no,
not a
it.
Problem. Well, I'll tell you. They have mosquitoes in
yes,
Costa Rica.
Yes, they do. All right. So another thing to do is have some cedar spray. It's a natural thing, and it will help with keeping the bugs away. And the first thing that you want to do when you get to a place that you're not familiar with, I don't care if it's Iowa or Timbuktu, you want to know where's the local pharmacy, because you may need to go there and get some assistance if you end up with diarrhea or upset belly or just a problem with your jet lag.
Okay, that's pretty much it.
Well, there's a lot more to it than that, but it's again, it all comes back to planning, and the main thing is to remember you're on the adventure, and too many times the real goodness of it is in the telling of the story when you come home. It's not while it's happening.
Mm-hmm. So the basic advice is be in the country, bring a gift, don't act like an American, and eat your yogurt.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And have fun. You should have fun. That should always be the focus.
Okay. Well, you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. Thanks for spending just a little bit of time with us here today. And as your grandmother very likely told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is?
Play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and eat your vegetables, and have fun when you travel.
Have fun with and bring your grandma a gift. Okay, until next time.
Mother Bye-bye. Earth will sing, and her children will be healed. Come and see the morning glory blossoming.